Welcome to the module that's going to teach you advanced astral projection techniques that you can use when reading people's auras. When you astral project, it's very important that you are tuned into as many things going on as possible. The ability to see other astral bodies happens naturally. When you are in your astral body, you are able to see other people's astral bodies and you are able to see astral structures. However, the ability to see auras doesn't necessarily follow naturally as part of astral projection. In other words, just because you're astral projecting does not mean that you will necessarily be able to see people's auras. I found with my students that approximately 25% of them can automatically see auras when they're astral projecting. However, the other 75% need to work on this skill. The purpose of this module is to allow you to see people's auras, but since this is the advanced program, I want to give you streamlined methods that are going to allow you to do a lot with your aura reading. When we astral project, we take with us our aura. Our aura emanates from our astral body. It is the energy that comes out of our souls and surrounds us. When we are in our physical bodies, the aura seems to emanate from the physical body, but that's only because our astral body is in our physical body at that time. So wherever your astral body goes, so does your aura. Think of the importance of seeing auras in the astral world like this. If you meet someone in the astral world, in their astral body, while you are in your astral body, wouldn't it be nice to know what they're thinking, or at least the types of thoughts they're having, their intentions, or the type of person they are? When you can see auras, you can see all of this immediately. Realize that the conversation in the astral world is telepathic, but you may know from psychology that approximately 75% of our conversation has nothing to do with the words we say at all. So in other words, even if you're communicating with this person in your astral body and in their astral body with telepathy, that's only 25% of the conversation. The rest of the conversation is their body language. However, in the astral world, body language is quite a bit different. The body language of the astral world is the aura. In the physical world, it's easy to read people's body language. They can fold their arms, they can turn away, they can roll their eyes. All of these actions indicate what they're thinking. In the astral world, we don't have the advantage of seeing these types of actions because the astral body doesn't move in these types of ways. It's not as prone to responding to your thoughts. Now, your thoughts do propel your astral body, but just because you're thinking you're disinterested doesn't mean that your astral arms are going to fold, for example. Usually, people's astral arms stay by their sides because usually they're not doing anything. They're not necessary. Usually, people are not lifting objects with their astral bodies. So the arms become less of a means of communication, as does the rest of the astral body. So we have to look at the aura. The aura is the body language of the astral body. But auras tell us so much more than that. Auras can tell us the condition of someone's health. Auras can tell us someone's intentions at a very deep level. Auras can tell us how spiritual someone is. Auras can tell us if someone's happy or sad. So once you master aura reading, you'll find that you're able to read someone much more easily. And you can even take this skill into the physical world. Because when someone's astral body is in their physical body, their aura will be emanating from their physical body. So you can read someone's aura in the physical body. One of the limitations that I have noticed in most people who view people's auras is that they want to view the aura of the person in person. In other words, they want the person standing right in front of them. And even in the astral world, I see many of my students who want to have the person hovering right in front of them. In other words, people feel that the proximity matters. And you know that proximity doesn't matter. Distance in the astral world does not matter. If something is 100 million light years away, or it's 1 meter, approximately 3 feet away, the reason the distance doesn't matter is because you can get anywhere in the same amount of time, if there were such thing as time. You can go from the Earth to the Moon in the same amount of time that you can go from your home to the nearest store in the astral world. In the physical world, we have limitations. It would take much longer to travel from the Earth to the Moon than it would to travel from your home to the nearest store. So part of mastering advanced astral projection is letting go of the limitations that you've learned in the third dimension, such as the idea of it taking a long time to get to faraway places, and the idea of it taking longer to get to places that are further away. All places in the astral world are accessible in the same amount of time. And this is another argument for the concept of time not existing. Time figures prominently in physics equations in the third dimension. When we think about getting somewhere, we think about how many miles per hour or how many kilometers per hour we're traveling. That has everything to do with how quickly we'll get there. But in the astral world, the rate of speed at which you travel is instant. You can travel slowly if you want to. You can travel just like you do in the third dimension, if you want to take the scenic route, as I call it. But you don't have to. You can travel in an instant. With that in mind, I would like to introduce you to Aura Remote Viewing. Aura remote viewing, as the name implies, allows you to see someone's aura no matter how far away they are. Remember, you do not need to have someone standing or hovering right in front of you in order to see their aura. They can be any distance from you at all, and it won't matter. Aura remote viewing allows you to see anyone's aura anytime, no matter how far they are from you. The way you're going to do that is by downloading, if you will, the proper software from your higher self. Now, you've already had practice on this, so the downloading part will be nothing new. And by the way, although I call it downloading, you're not really downloading something like a computer program. You're simply having your aura activate the ability that you already have. Some people would call this receiving a miraculous gift. Many cultures have called it many things. In this program, you learn to streamline that process of having aura remote viewing by going through a very straightforward procedure of contacting your overself and having this activated. But realize, in many of the historical writings and mystical writings of the world, you will read about this process and it will have other names: receiving sight, receiving miraculous visions, and so forth. After reading all of these materials, I have streamlined everything for you and condensed it to a very straightforward procedure, which I'm now going to share with you. By virtue of going through this program, you are receiving modern-day instruction to use techniques which people have been using for thousands of years. After a lifetime of studying these techniques, I have found that there are very straightforward ways in which everyone can access them. So, let's work on activating your aura remote viewing. To do this, I want you to find yourself in your astral body. So if you need to pause this recording now, feel free to do so. And remember, as with any other procedure in this program, you can always do it later, or if you're not at the point of astral projection yet, you can imagine yourself doing it so that when you are ready to astral project, you will already have rehearsed doing it and it will be an easy procedure for you. And remember, never do this or any other procedures or techniques in this program while operating a motor vehicle. Always do them in a safe, comfortable, relaxed place. In your astral body, I would like you to quiet your mind. Just relax and allow your mind to quiet. So many times when we're in our astral bodies, we become excited about what we're going to do and see and the adventures we're going to have. And I want you to realize that right now, it's time to put that to the side and focus on relaxation. And the way you focus on relaxation is by letting all of that chatter come into your mind and then let it quiet down on its own. Because what you are about to do requires your undivided attention, requires you to be calm and still inside while in your astral body. So continue relaxing, continue clearing your mind as I speak, and prepare yourself mentally for a wonderful experience, an experience that you will only do once, and after it is done, you'll have the ability to remotely view people's auras. And now it is time. I would like you to contact your overself, your higher self, your oversoul. This part of you goes by numerous names, but it is the part of you that is responsible for looking over you, making sure you get the lessons you need, and assisting you in any way possible. At this time, you desire assistance in seeing people's auras remotely. I would like you, in your thoughts, to repeat after me: Hail to the jewel in the lotus. Hail to you, my oversoul. I now come before you humbly requesting the ability to view auras remotely. I request this with the highest of intentions. I promise to use this power to serve the greater good. I request now that I be allowed to view auras remotely. And now I want you to just be still in your mind and relax. Just relax. That's right. Your higher self is now analyzing your intentions, searching you, searching your thoughts, making a decision. All right, sufficient time has passed that if your overself has decided to give you this ability, you now have it. whatever the decision may be, I want you now to thank your Overself by thinking these thoughts. I now thank you for giving this consideration. I thank you for watching out for me, making sure I get the lessons I need. Thank you for all that you do, moment to moment. Now I want you to continue relaxing. If your Overself, your Oversoul, your Higher Self has given you this gift, then over the next few days you will be able to develop it. And here is how I want you to develop it. Let's begin practice right now. Aura remote viewing is easily done when you establish a framework within your mind that enables this ability to be used. And let me explain what I mean. I would like you to imagine a monitor in front of you, 1 meter in front of you, or 3 feet in front of you. Imagine it to be fairly wide, 1 meter wide or 3 feet wide, and fairly tall, 1 meter tall or 3 feet tall. On this monitor, you see on the right side three words. The top word is place, the middle word is person, the bottom word is time. By thinking of an entity of any kind and a particular time, you will be able to see the aura of that entity. I use the word person because generally people view the auras of people. But you can also view the aura of a plant, or a dog, or a cat, or an entity which doesn't have a body, an astral entity, an elemental. Elementals are similar to cats and dogs, except they are in the fourth dimension, and they do not have any ties to physical beings, physical three-dimensional beings. Of course, when cats and dogs astral project, they do have ties to their physical counterparts, but elementals do not. They are not dangerous, but they do tend to populate the astral world. There are also other entities in the astral world besides elementals. These beings are more rare, but occasionally you will see them, beings from other realms who occasionally pass through. You may also see people who have left their physical body, who have not yet taken on another physical body. So, when I say person, I mean all of those beings. Remember, you have three words, place, person, and time. Let's look at the third word for a moment. Time has three categories, past, present, and future. With aura remote viewing, you're able to see the past, the present, or the future, or all three at once. I recommend viewing them individually because the information is easier to take in when you do this. So for example, if you would like to see a distant relative who has already passed away, and you know exactly where they were at a certain time, then you can enter this information on the screen, and you do this through your thoughts. So let's say, for example, hypothetically, that you want to see your great-grandfather, and you know that he was in Boston, Massachusetts, in the United States, and you know the year. The year was 1888. This is all hypothetical, just to show you how the mechanics work. So through your thoughts, you would communicate with the screen and enter the place using your thoughts. Place is Boston, Massachusetts. There's no need to be excessively specific. Having a city, a state, and a country is sufficient. The person, you would telepathically communicate the person's exact name. And the time, you would communicate the day, the month, and the year. So let's say July 21st, 1888. And then you watch the screen, and you will see the aura of the person as it was in that time, in that place. Generally speaking, viewing auras from the past or the future doesn't have a tremendous amount of practicality. However, it can be done. What I find to be very practical is viewing auras of people who are living now and viewing their auras in the present. This can have a number of advantages. It can tell you how they are feeling. It can tell you about their health. It can tell you about their honesty. And it can tell you many other things. So to do that, the place would be wherever they happen to be, the city and the state and the country. Person would be their exact name. The time would be now. So do this now. I want you to practice this technique. Imagine a place. Where are they right now? If they are astral projecting, it can be a little more challenging since they take their aura with them. So ideally, pick someone who is awake so you know exactly where they are. Then the person, their exact name, then the time, which is now. And I want you to view their aura. I'm going to give you a little time to explore this. I'm going to be silent for the next minute. During that time, I want you to focus on the place, person, and the present time, and I want you to view their aura. Remember from the basic program when viewing an aura that impressions can come in a number of ways. They can come through feelings, they can come through colors, and they can come through impressions that you receive. So open your mind to receiving any information whatsoever from the monitor, and realize sometimes the information will be transferred directly to your astral body, so you will have an actual sensation. Sometimes it will seem to be a physical sensation, especially if the person is currently experiencing some sort of powerful physical sensation. Realize that you can stop receiving these sensations at any time by psychically communicating with the monitor and indicating that you are done with the aura remote viewing for now. Realize that the monitor is not actually in existence either in the three-dimensional world or the fourth-dimensional world. It is simply a psychological means for you to get the aura information that you need. I use this technique with my hypnotherapy patients when they need to remember past events or think about situations in their lives. Envisioning a computer monitor is the easiest way to facilitate memories or thoughts. So the impressions are real. However, using the vision of the computer monitor is simply a way to represent in your mind and make sense of in your mind the impressions that you will be receiving, both visual and otherwise. So remember, what I want you to do right now, as I'm silent for the next minute, is imagine the place, the person, and the time. The place is wherever they are, the person is their exact name, and the time is now. Do this now as I'm silent. Okay, good. Now you can continue viewing if you'd like. Realize that since this was only a brief period of time that I was silent, you can visit this exercise again later more fully. But I wanted you to at least get the experience of aura remote viewing. Now that you have the ability to see auras and to see them remotely, realize that you don't always have to see them remotely. You can use the remote viewing technique for auras that I've taught to you. However, if someone is standing right in front of you, there's no need to use it. Or if you're in your astral body and someone is hovering right in front of you, there's no need to use it. But let's take a look at some practical uses for this. It's nice to be able to see people's auras, and it's nice to be able to see them remotely, but what does that information mean to us? What will we actually do with that information? We can see people's auras in the past, we can see people's auras in the future, and we can see people's auras in the present, but we must have a way of interpreting the information that we're receiving and to have some sort of practical use for it. So first, let's turn our attention to interpreting the information that we are receiving. When you see someone's aura, you will usually see colors, blue, purple, yellow, green, and different shades of each color. You will see every possible color in existence eventually if you see enough auras. And these colors will change. Sometimes they will change in the moment that you're looking at them. I want to suggest to you that the colors are not as important as what the colors mean to you. The colors have something to say. Think of it like this. A stop sign is red. It conveys to you that there is something that you need to pay attention to. That's what the color red conveys. A green light means go. But green is also the color of healing. Plants are green, for example. However, these concepts are not written in stone. When we look at someone's aura, red doesn't necessarily mean stop, green doesn't necessarily mean go, because those concepts wouldn't make any sense when looking at auras. However, in each moment that you view someone's aura, the color can be saying something completely different than in the next moment. As an example, the color red can in one moment mean that there's a challenge going on with the person's health. In the next moment, the same exact shade of that color can mean that they are angry. So it's important to let go of a list of what colors mean. And if you have such a list, I want to suggest to you that it's unimportant and will actually not help you in aura reading. What I want you to focus on is using your powers of extrasensory perception to gain an intuitive understanding of what the colors mean in each moment. And the way you do this is by letting go of the need to see colors in the first place. Sometimes people's auras are conveyed to us in other ways. Sometimes it's through a feeling, sometimes through a sound, sometimes through a vague impression, but many times through colors. So I want to get you away from a dependence on colors for aura reading. Many people believe that if they don't see colors, then they're not seeing an aura. But realize that you see an aura with your soul. Your soul is perceiving the essence of someone else. So it is not necessary to actually see colors in order to see an aura. Part of the challenge comes in when we have a history of using the word see when talking about auras and thinking of them in terms of visually seeing colors. Think of the word see in terms of perceiving. You perceive someone's aura. Given that, it's going to take you a little practice to start properly interpreting the information you are receiving from each person. But if you stick with it, you will find that it's easy to understand what is going on with someone based on the impressions you receive from their aura, visibly and through your other senses. Remember, when you see someone's aura, you're not seeing it with your physical eyes, you're seeing it with your soul. You're seeing something from their soul with your soul. So interpretation is going to come to you as a result of practice. So let's practice right now. If you're able to get into your astral body, do so now. If it's not convenient, then do so later. And if you are not yet to the point where you're astral projecting, then just imagine this exercise. And after you are astral projecting, you can do this exercise in your astral body. But what I would like you to do now or the next time you're in your astral body, and remember, you never do these exercises while in a moving vehicle, I would like you to position your astral body in front of someone else's soul. In other words, in front of their astral body. So if you are astral projecting, find someone who is awake and look at their soul within their body. And I want you to do the practice in this way so that you get away from any possible dependence on using aura remote viewing. Because remember, aura remote viewing is not necessary when the person is right there. So as you look at them, I want you to tune into their aura. And the way you do this is by just allowing impressions to come to you. Clearing your mind, meaning letting all of that chatter happen and then letting it go. And then tuning into impressions that come to you. Sometimes they're in the form of color. Sometimes they are in other forms. So open your mind to the possibility that these impressions can come to you in a number of ways. Sometimes all at once, sometimes one after another. Sometimes there's only one type of impression that comes to you. Color, for example, or a feeling. But tune into that person. In three-dimensional measurements, I want you to be approximately 3 meters or 10 feet from them. This is going to be far enough that you're not interfering with their aura and close enough that you don't need to use aura remote viewing. And just tune in to the impressions you get. As I am silent for the next minute, just tune in to the impressions you get from them. Remember, they can come in any variety of forms. Do this now as I'm silent. As you tuned into that person, what impressions did you receive? Did you receive impressions in the form of color or sound or feelings? How did those impressions come to you? And I want to tell you that if you received impressions in terms of sound, those are not necessarily sounds that are coming from that person. Those can be sounds from their soul. Sounds being conveyed from their soul to your soul. Perhaps sounds of happiness or sadness. What colors did you see? What colors did you perceive? More importantly, what do those colors mean to you? And as you continue practicing this technique, I want you to tune in to what the impressions mean to you, because that is the key to aura reading. Another practical use of aura reading is the ability to find out what someone needs in terms of healing and to give them assistance with that. When someone is low on energy, for example, their aura will show it. Now, when I say show it, remember I'm using the word see in its broader context, because you're going to see an aura in terms of feeling it and hearing it and seeing it. So when I say someone's aura looks dim, realize that you may just get the impression that it feels dim, that their life force feels low because of illness or just feeling not so good. Sometimes people just don't feel good for whatever reason. Maybe they're upset, maybe they're sick, but their aura will show that. It will reflect that. It will give that off. You will be able to perceive that about them. So in this next exercise, what I would like you to do is position yourself approximately 10 feet or 3 meters from someone. Make sure they're in their physical body. And the reason I have you make sure they're in their physical body is because if they're in their astral body and they're not consciously astral projecting, then they could wander off at any moment. And then you could potentially be following them around the universe. So the idea is you find someone in their physical body so that you know chances are they're not going to leave their physical body. And remember, you can either do this or do this later or imagine it and do it once you're able to astral project. But having yourself in that position approximately 10 feet or 3 meters from someone in their physical body, I would like you to tune in now to their energy level and just get a sense of how much energy they have. When I see people's auras and they have a lot of energy, I see a bright aura that is bigger than the average aura. When they have more energy than the average person, I see a bigger aura on them and I see it brighter. But you may get impressions in a different way. You may hear something more loudly, or you may just feel that they have more energy. But tune into that person and get a sense of how much energy they have. Now I want you to tune into them and get a sense of how balanced they are. And when I say balanced, what I mean is how well they're dealing with those situations that come up in their lives. When someone is off balance, what we usually mean is that someone is really not coping well with all of the things they have to do. Perhaps they have very busy lives and they're having difficulty juggling everything. Perhaps something has just happened to them and they don't know how to process it yet, so they're off balance. This is a very important factor when it comes to overall health. Balance is just as important as energy. So tune in now to how balanced they are. And when I see someone's balance, what I see are consistent patterns. I see an aura that is mainly one color. For example, yellow. If I see an aura that is mainly yellow from head to toe, I know that I'm dealing with a balanced person. Now, balance doesn't imply good or bad or right or wrong or anything like that. Balanced implies consistency. They are consistent. Some people are very balanced in their anger. Some people are very balanced in how upset they are. So keep in mind that balance doesn't necessarily imply anything that's necessarily positive or negative. It implies consistency. But consistency can be a starting point for overcoming other challenges. So tune in now to their balance. How balanced are they? This will come to you in the form of an overall color, or perhaps it's a splotchy aura. Different colors here, different colors there, not necessarily balanced. Perhaps red here, orange there, blue there. Tune in now to their aura and look for balance. Do this now as I am silent. You're getting an overall sense now of how balanced they are. And you've already gotten an overall sense of how much energy they have. These are two very important factors. Now, I want you to do a scan of them and look for anything that strikes you as out of the ordinary. Now, if you don't have a lot of experience reading auras, then you may wonder what ordinary even looks like. But what I mean is something that's out of the ordinary for their aura, something that's different somewhere in their aura that you don't see in other places. For example, sometimes if people have a disease process going on somewhere in their body, there is an extreme difference of color in that area that will not be present anywhere else. So I want you now to tune into their aura and look for anything that is different from the rest of the aura. Do this now as I am silent. Okay, good. So now you know how to make practical use of the information that you're receiving, and you know that you're developing your own sense of what everything means. Because just like dream interpretation, symbols don't mean the same thing for everyone. You're viewing their aura through your soul. So if I were to tell you what the colors mean to me, that wouldn't necessarily be true for you. You are seeing their aura through your own aura. You have to look through your aura to see theirs. So it's going to look different to you than it does to me. Just like when I dream with my mind. The symbolism of my mind is a collection of symbols that I have encountered throughout my life. My experience is different than your experience, so my symbols are different. So aura reading is unique. It's unique for each individual. So I want you to tune in to getting your own impressions and figuring out the code of the way you see auras or you perceive auras, and this happens through practice. So I want you to keep practicing these techniques. So now that you know how to read auras and you know how to see them remotely and close, so now I want to teach you a final technique that you're going to be able to use with auras, because it's nice to know if someone has energy, and it's nice to know if someone's balanced, and it's nice to know if there are any abnormalities in the aura. But what about doing something with that information? What about helping someone? And realize that I'm talking about being able to help someone in the present and in the future. Now, the past is the past. What has happened has already happened. So it's interesting to look at it, but realize that you're not going to affect the present or the future by altering the past, because the past is already over. However, if you notice through aura remote viewing that someone is going to have a lack of energy or an imbalance or an abnormality in their aura in the future, you can use this technique. The technique I'm about to tell you is how to send healing energy to someone. So if someone needs it in the present, you can send it in the present. If through aura remote viewing you determine that someone is going to need it in the future, you can send it to them in the future from the present. More importantly, you can send it to them in the present so they won't even need it in the future. So realize you have a lot of flexibility when it comes to aura reading. This is where aura reading becomes helpful and active and extremely practical. So, finding yourself in your astral body again, I would like you to see someone, and this time it's your choice. I would like you to see their aura either through aura remote viewing or positioning yourself approximately 10 feet or 3 meters in three-dimensional space from them. And as you view their aura, I want you to notice anything that can be helped. Maybe they're low on energy. Maybe their aura is inconsistent. Maybe there's an abnormality. And so take a few moments and scan their aura as I'm silent. Now what I want you to do is send some energy to them from your own aura. This will not affect your aura at all. If they are low on energy and you send them energy, it will not deplete your energy. In fact, helping others always gives us more energy. So you scan them for all three categories: energy, consistency, and abnormalities. If they are lacking in any of the three, or two of the three, or all three, then I want you to send healing energy to them now from your aura. The way you do this is you send it from your solar plexus chakra. So, emanating out in a straight line from your solar plexus chakra to their solar plexus chakra will be your life force energy going into their solar plexus chakra and emanating from there throughout their chakra system. So, once it enters their solar plexus chakra, it will go up to the throat chakra, brow chakra, crown chakra, out through the top of their head, and it will be reabsorbed into their root chakra, and it will continue cycling through their system of chakras in that manner. So once again, if you have determined anything about their aura that could use some help, for example, low energy, inconsistency, or any abnormality, I want you to send healing energy to them now. Send it out through your solar plexus chakra to their solar plexus chakra, so it will move from your soul to their soul. I want you to do this now, as I am silent, and notice the changes that happen in their aura as a result of this healing energy you're sending. I'm going to be silent for a full minute to allow you to really focus on this and to allow you to send this energy, concentrated, powerful energy to them that is going to help them. And notice the change you are making in their aura. Do this now as I am silent. Okay, good. Now you have sent healing energy to them. After you've done that, I want you to sever the connection with them. The reason you do this is so that you do not continue sending energy to them. Sort of like turning off a water faucet. After you've used the water for its appropriate purpose, you turn the faucet off until the next time you want to use it. It's a similar case any time we connect ourselves to someone through our chakras. What you've just done is called chakra linking. It's time now to break that link until you need to use it again. The way you do this is by increasing your auric field. Your auric field is the field that surrounds you. It is your aura itself. But specifically, I want you to increase the energy at the perimeter, meaning the very edge of your aura. Most people's auras extend out from their astral body approximately 3 feet or 1 meter in every direction. This measurement is approximate. But I want you to gauge now how far out your aura extends in front of you. Specifically, how far it extends out in front of your solar plexus. This is the point at which you reach the edge of your aura. This is, if you think about it, the edge of you and the beginning of the rest of the universe. Your property line in the universe, if you will. At the very edge of your aura, I want you to now intensify your aura. So you've stopped sending healing energy to this person. Now I want you to intensify the edge of your aura. Send energy to the edge of your aura until it is like a shell around you, a solid shell that nothing can get through. And as you do this, you will notice that if your chakra was still connected to their chakra, the link is immediately severed. The reason is that the energy from your chakra is no longer able to escape. This is an important process because anytime you link to someone, you must break that link when you are done with the energy work. Otherwise, eventually, they could potentially become a drain to you. Not only that, but being linked to them, you will start to receive impressions from them. So what happens to them will start to affect you. That's why it's important to break this link. Sort of like when you end a phone conversation. You disconnect the connection so that you don't hear everything they say for the rest of the day, and they don't hear everything you say for the rest of the day. That conversation is over. So this communication is over between you and them, and it's important to sever it by strengthening the outer wall of your auric field. This immediately severs any lingering connection with them. And once it is severed, you can relax. Relax your auric field. The connection is severed, and it will not reopen until you want it to. So now you have powerful techniques that you can do. Powerful techniques that allow you to read other people's auras, whether they're close to you or far from you, and to understand what their aura is telling you, and to help them in times when they need help. And you do this by sending healing energy. And you also know how to protect yourself by stopping that flow. So enjoy aura reading and enjoy helping others. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, wishing you outstanding astral journeys.